Tuesday, January 9th. President again this morning, first thing, got into the Klein role, said he had come up with the solution that the deal we should do is to make him counselor with cabinet rank with a secretary and a roving assignment so he can sit in meetings but not come in to brief leaders and so on, make him counselor for communications and have him work as a personal operative with no staff or operational responsibility. And on this basis, he thinks that would solve all the problems with Herb and still get the advantages from him that he thinks we would lose if he leaves. He told me to talk to Klein and say the president's damned impressed with your personal appearances and so on, but you shouldn't be bogged down with details. You're an enormous, effective advocate and salesman, so we should raise your stature to counselor. You'd sit in the cabinet, some NSC and leadership meetings, but it'd be very clear that there's only one press secretary, that the president looks on you as an individual advocate, handling phone calls, speeches, and most importantly, TV, such as your previous... Things such as your previous work and programming the cabinet and so on, that would be no longer your responsibility. So I'll see what we can do on that. Later on in the day, however, Ziegler got into a discussion of this with the president, and at that point, the president felt we should not go ahead with Klein, so we may not have to do it. Kissinger called on the phone, reporting from Paris, said that we'd be receiving a message in an hour or so. The main reason for his call was to wish the president a happy birthday, and that some of what he had been hoping for may be coming to pass. He says he'll be there till Friday or no later than Saturday, that there'd be a proposed schedule coming to us tomorrow, that we must keep the lid on the matters we discussed Saturday, that the cable should be confined to the president only until no one else now. And then he said, I mainly wanted to wish the president a happy birthday and express my gratitude to him for letting me serve. A little later, his report came, and it was very good news. He says they've got the breakthrough, and unless the Vietnamese back down, we're in very good shape. The president had Colonel Kennedy in, meeting with, this is on January 9th, meeting with Colonel Kennedy on Henry's report. President said that his guess in looking at the whole thing is that he's not overly optimistic, that Henry's probably over-evaluating it again. Kennedy, on the other hand, thinks this is it. President's concern is that the North Vietnamese will back down the hill tomorrow. President says the only thing he disagrees with Kissinger on is the massive problem in Saigon. He says he doesn't think it's like it was there now. Kennedy also says he's much more hopeful that we can pull it off with Saigon. Talked about the fact that Haig should plan to go on Sunday or as soon as possible, but we should not tell him the news today so that he won't have to lie over there. Overall, it's super good news, and the president told Kennedy to send Henry a cable saying this is the best birthday present he's had in 60 years. Obviously, he was very pleased, but he handled it in very cool fashion, didn't tell anyone else, and isn't going to, he says, and I don't think he will. He had a series of meetings at his initiative today. First, Malik told Fred to say, feel free to say the president wants this or that when you're working, made the point that you're a good manager and a judge of managers, but more important than ability is loyalty. The government must act when we speak. Therefore, it's better to have a dumb loyalist than a bright neuter. For IRS, a loyal Jew would be good. It must be a loyalist. We've got to get input from Webster and Colson. The president suggested the idea of inspectors general, such as the services and State Department has, one for every department and agency, have them move around and into the regions. Told Malik to see about this concept. Then he met with Ash and Ehrlichman, emphasized the need to use Ash to sell the economy and so forth because of his credibility. Need for him to contact Arthur Burns, and he commented that Arthur played a brilliant line in the campaign and deserves great credit. Told Roy not to worry about the attacks. As a designated member of the cabinet, your status is the same as any cabinet officer. It's important for the cabinet to recognize this. Said on the OMB under Schultz and Weinberger, it was just a glorified budget bureau with damn little on management, that you should get a good budget man to rely on so that you don't worry about budget details and spend your time on the management side. Told me to talk to Bryce Harlow at the earliest opportunity and get Bryce to meet with Ehrlichman and Ash on the value of musical chairs and the Budget Bureau relations in Congress. It says the domestic consul still has responsibility for political input, and we're relying on the consulars on this. Told Roy to give on the little battles and fight the big ones, especially with Congress. Sometimes it's just not worth the cost to win the little ones. We need to sell the impounding case on the basis of taxes. We can't win on individual programs, but we have to transfer the issue that it leads to an undesirable tax increase. Said we really ought to get a poll thing on whether you favor government spending more if it requires a tax increase, or do you feel it's okay to spend more and have a tax increase? Spend as much time as possible on the Hill. Hold hands. Say the president asked you to come and have a frank talk, etc. He met with Ken Cole, made a pitch to him that Ehrlichman's got to take more PR and congressional responsibility, and that Ken should not pile Ehrlichman up or bother him. She'd help him delegate by not taking matters to him. Ken should make the decisions, and don't worry about some mistakes. The president will work with him and back him. We don't need to see so much paperwork. We should cut down the volume of paper into the president. We should find occasions to bring departmental people that we've now farmed out to the departments back into the White House, especially our people from the domestic consul and so on. Talked about doing the State of the Union in sections, which will allow congressional consultation, and instead of eight stories in one speech, we'll have eight separate stories. He told Cole to call Nelson Rockefeller on his drug deal and tell him the president's totally behind him, that he's on the right side of the issue. It's good to have a governor move out on it. The president hasn't because we don't have a clearance from justice. Also, the president's personally kicking the asses around the government to get some contracts for New York. Told him to call Rizzo and tell him the president really feels for him on the education thing and to blame it all the problems on Schapp. Dean reported that everybody except Liddy either has or will make a negative or negotiating pleas of guilty. This is including McCord. Hunt is already settled on a negotiation for a guilty plea on three counts. The others have vague assurance regarding equal treatment and so on. Sobert has a problem with the judge accepting the pleas, but after the opening statement and the jury impanel, they'll take the plea, and then the judge will ask if there are any higher-ups. Hunt will say no. Liddy still has a desire to go to trial because it puts him in better shape, and he wants to go for a pardon. Colson made the deal with Bettman regarding Hunt. This led to the deals with the other parties, so there's no involvement from the White House. It's all indirect. He thinks we can probably also work Liddy, but maybe shouldn't. They'll take contempt if they're granted immunity, and that may blunt the Congress, too. He wants Mitchell to talk to Deloach to see what he can get out of him on the LBJ thing, because if we can get that cranked up, LBJ could turn off the whole congressional investigation. Late in the afternoon, President had a long session with Colson. We got into a discussion of getting someone to buy the Washington Star, which Frank Dale wants to do. Colson made the point that it'd be far better to have someone buy the Post. Got into the Webster discussion and the problem of replacement, where we don't want just a good tax man. President said we'd do him for the FTC and drop Lou Engman. And the president told Colson and me to have our recommendations regarding PR and attack operations ready to go over with him on Friday morning, evaluating all the players and so forth. Colson says that Brennan has dropped consideration of Tabor for Undersecretary of Labor because when he came in to have his interview with Brennan, he started talking about how terrible the bombings were and couldn't we get those stopped. So Brennan told him he could leave. Colson's concerned about moving Webster out, thinks we can handle it all right, though, if we can give him the FTC, so I'm supposed to work that out with Ehrlichman. President left early to go for a drive with BB out to see Julie's new house, and then for his surprise birthday party tonight, end of January 9th.